Turning your Bibles this evening to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We left off at verse 3, and tonight's message is titled Exhortations to Sexual Purity. Verse 3, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testify." Now in verse 3, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, Paul plainly states that the revealed will of God is to abstain from sexual uncleanness and immorality in all of its forms. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. You know, I've heard people say, "How can I know what the will of God is for my life? How can I really know that?" As if it's something that's out in the atmosphere, that is kind of spooky and just mysterious, and it's not. The will of God is clearly revealed in the Word of God. Everything God wants you to know about Him, about Christ, about how you're to live, how you're to act, how you're to serve, how to raise your kids, everything is revealed in His Word. So you go to His Word, and here is a clear declaration. This is unmistakable. There is no wiggle room here. He says plainly that this is the will of God and your sanctification. Your mark of you are separating yourself from the world unto God. You are consecrated to God as a holy vessel fit for His use. This is your sanctification, that ye abstain, that you do not partake in fornication. Now, in this sense, it has to do with all forms of sexual immorality, whether it be fornication, which in its strictest sense is premarital sex. So having relations with someone you are not married to, one or both parties. The second would be adultery, and that's when a man and a woman who are married, one of them commits adultery against the other. Homosexuality, incest, lustful thoughts. Jesus said, if a man look on a woman with lust in his heart, he has committed adultery already. He's talking about the breadth of the law of God. It's not just confined to the physical act, but also to our thoughts. All of these things are expressly forbidden in the Word of God. And you and I would do well, men and women alike, boys and girls, to simply acknowledge what the will of God is and do it. If we are to live a life that is indeed set apart, consecrated for the glory of God, We must not, we cannot indulge in unlawful sexual desires and passions. But we are clearly commanded to abstain from them. Now, our society is saturated in sexual temptation, sexual innuendo, sexual uncleanness. And if we're going to be in a condition to be used in the service of God, we've got to learn to abstain and separate ourselves from the sins relating to sexual immorality. Now, several scriptures clearly rebuke and condemn sins that are associated with sexual sin, with sexual immorality. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Again, this is not real hard to understand. Run from it. Don't get caught up in it. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Ephesians 5:3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Colossians 3:5. Mortify, meaning put to death, crucify. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, sexual sin defiles the body, the soul, and the spirit. And it's a horrific type of sin. It brings a great deal of guilt upon the person who labors under that sin, because it scars the conscience, it unfits for service, and it causes more guilt than, say, lying. Because normally what happens with sexual sins, you not only commit fornication or adultery, but you then lie about it. It's a compounding sin in many cases. So we have to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, if we're going to live a sanctified life for God. If we're going to be set apart for God. Now, in context here, for a citizen of Thessalonica, the directives against sexual immorality were foreign concepts. The culture in which they lived in the first century had no real limits to their fleshly and carnal pursuits of sexual perversion. They were so wicked, they even incorporated rituals of sexual sin into their pagan worship system. Many of the people who had been saved in Thessalonica had grown up in an environment of unrestrained lust, where sexual immorality was promoted as something normal and acceptable and healthy. That's 2,000 years ago. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? So they had to be instructed in the biblical truth of monogamy, of saving yourself for marriage, okay? The teaching of virtue for men, young men and young women, and then staying that way. When you marry, you don't go outside of the marriage bed. It's relations between husband and wife, period, end. Nothing else. Well, they had to be taught that. They had to be taught the biblical truth of monogamy and the importance of virtue. Again, it seems like there's a rinse and repeat cycle in history. I really believe that teaching, like we find here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, elevated marriage, the teaching of marriage, it elevated that. It elevated the role of women so that they were not looked upon merely as a piece of sexual property to be used indiscriminately for the pleasures of men. Christianity taught that it was important that men and women are faithful to one another within the bounds of holy matrimony. And it elevated, it exalted that teaching. And I believe it's one of the reasons why there were so many advances, so many blessings upon families. Because a husband and wife were devoted to one another and to their children. But in Western culture now, this is true all across the world. Europe is a cesspool of immorality and wickedness. It's bad here, but it's almost anything goes in Europe. Why? They burned us up. They've thrown it out. They've completely disregarded this. I think about in the late 1800s, Charles Haddon Spurgeon and Archibald Brown, as they were preaching in London, and God was blessing them in a mighty way. Revivals and awakenings were occurring, and souls were being saved. Lives were being changed. But you know what? In the late 1800s, that revival ebbed. It started to deaden, and higher criticism came in among the churches. They began to, the Baptist Union of that day began to accept some evolutionary thought that Charles Darwin had promoted. They began to doubt the inspiration, the veracity of Holy Scripture. And you know what happened? A coldness, an apathy. Spurgeon and Archibald Brown saw great revival, and then they saw the downgrade of Christianity in England. Until here's where we are today. There are more Muslims in England than there are Christians, professing Christians. It's the fastest growing religion in England. The Muslim religion, all based on works, all based on human merit, all legalism. That's what happens when you don't stand firm on the truth of the Word of God. But we're seeing Western culture devolve into the abyss of sexual immorality and paganism in our present day. Sexual sins that were once considered immoral and taboo have become acceptable by continually lowering the standards of decency in order to accept new mores of deviancy. Now, I don't know if you remember. I remember it crystal clear when in 2008 or 9 when homosexual marriage... I don't call it gay marriage. They've stolen a word that really should... There is nothing gay about homosexuality. It's an abomination before the Lord, according to the Word of the living God. And I hate that I've got to give this disclaimer. I would never think of being hateful towards someone who is a homosexual or a transgender, but it's wrong. And I have the authority of the Word of God to say that's wrong. It shouldn't have a place in our society. if we're going to live and abide by the Word of God. It's wrong. It's sinful. When you make a statement like that in our culture today, you're canceled immediately. I mean, in fact, I don't know what the algorithms are on this thing. I don't think there's enough people that watch our Facebook thing to get us in trouble, but probably if John MacArthur said something that blatant tonight, they'd probably cut his head off tomorrow morning. It would go viral on the internet. The fact of the matter is, we are devolving. But here, I want to get back to my point. When homosexual marriage was legalized, and politician Obama at that time lauded the decision of the Supreme Court, and then, I'm telling you, it was the very next day his administration began to talk about transgender rights. And I didn't even know what a transgender was. I thought, they've invented another new word. Have no idea what this is. Now, what has it morphed into? From 2008, saying they have rights and they wanted the boys that thought they were girls to be able to use girls' restrooms. That's silly. That's just, it's not just sinful, it's silly, it's wrong. Yeah. Well, what's it morphed into? How can something that started back then be so acceptable today? Just this past week, the women's swimming NCAA championship, a man won it. Will Thomas, who swam 3 years on the University of Penn college swimming team, and then sat out COVID, said he was going to become a woman, and then he started swimming against women, and now he's declared the champion. And you know what, people? The NCAA, they sanction it. They say that's perfectly all right. And it's not. I mean, you cannot. DNA is a biological truth. Your biological makeup, if you are a boy with, and boys are different from girls, it's always going to be that way. And the fact of the matter is, men are stronger than women. Now, I've met some women that could probably whip me. So I'm thinking of one right now, but that I've met in my life, you know, but I'm saying by and large, it shouldn't, there's no way that a biological male should be competing against females who have never had an ounce of testosterone ever flowing through their bodies. Yet this is what happens when you adopt deviant sexual perversion in a society. Everything gets messed up. It affects everything, the way people think. We have fornication, homosexuality, transgenderism. And I'm telling you what's next. What is it? LGBTQ? Is that their lessons? All right, let's see what that says. Why didn't anybody ever say this, by the way? They just say the letters. I'm going to tell you what it is. L, lesbian. L, B. Bisexual. And I know I'm making some of you uncomfortable, but I'm telling you, people need to be made uncomfortable. Because this is what they're teaching your kids. They're force feeding it. It's on commercials and on everything. So you got lesbians, you've got bisexual, you know that's wrong. LBG, that's supposed to be gay, which is homosexuality. LBG, what else did I say? T, is that the next one? T, transgender, the idea that a man can become a woman and a woman can become a man. By the way, where are all the women who are transitioning to be men so that they can play football or play NBA basketball? Yeah, it's not happening. LBGT, and then Q stands for queer. Now that used to be, that's what the whole bunch of this was known as. But it's in their letters, so I'm allowed to say it. And that's what it means. I'm going to tell you, there's another letter that's coming. And it's P. And it's pedophilia. I've read articles. They are pushing for this very idea that it's not wrong for a man or a woman to have relations with minors. That there shouldn't be a law against that expression of sexuality. That is coming. And this is what happens when you define deviancy down in a society. These things are being presented as normal, and as such, not only should be tolerated, but fully accepted and promoted in such a way that if you don't agree and say, oh, we love that, then you're canceled from society. See? It's wrong. The acceptance of such wickedness has done a great deal of harm to the institution of marriage, the home, and the rearing of children. Again, I'm dealing with sexual sins. Sadly, do you realize that there are curriculums that they're pushing as young as kindergarten through third grade, where they begin indoctrinating children in the LGBTQP ideology? They begin to teach them about homosexuality in kindergarten. And they began to define the words and what all. Listen, man, when I was in third grade, I didn't even know there were girls. It's insane. But this is what happens in an over-sexualized society, because what they're doing is they're grooming those children. They're grooming and conditioning. And I'll tell you another thing that's happened with all of this. They've made men, a lot of men, more effeminate. Our society has. I'm not buying into it. We need to label it as something that is wrong and sinful, and you better teach your kids and warn against it. No matter how loud a society screams that something is right or good or acceptable, if it's contrary to the commands of Scripture, we must reject it no matter what the cost. The authority of Scripture must ever be our standard rather than the fickle and immoral winds of degenerate society. John MacArthur, now this is a lengthy quote, but I had to include it because it's really powerful. So don't tune me out, okay? Here's what he said. Christians understand that those are the dogmas of society's permissive sexual outlook. All those things I've just talked about. The Apostle Paul could have recognized the same tendencies in his day. Because if anything, the utterly pagan Greco-Roman culture he ministered in was more sexually perverse and debauched than modern, than contemporary Western culture, which for centuries has had the beneficial influence of Christianity on its institutions. By the way, this is another thing. They don't care a thing about people. This whole ideology. They want to get rid of Christianity. They want to get rid of the Word of God. They want to get rid of personal responsibility and authority. They've just picked this group to focus on. Now, Thessalonica was part of that debased Greco-Roman culture. The city was rife with such sinful practices as fornication, adultery, homosexuality, including pedophilia, transvestism, men dressing like women, and a wide variety of pornographic and erotic perversions, all done with a seared conscience and society's acceptance, hence with little or no accompanying shame and guilt. I'm going to tell you something. There is something good about shame. We ought to feel shame when we sin. There is something beneficial about feeling guilty. I'm thankful God has made me feel guilty at different times in my life over sin. But we're living in a culture that doesn't believe in shame, doesn't believe in guilt, doesn't blush at sin. And they're just lying to people. That's what it boils down to. Now, unlike people in Western nations today, the Thessalonians grew up with no Christian tradition to support laws and standards that forbid the grosser manifestations of immorality. Pagan Greek society apparently did not have civil laws to prohibit immoral behavior. Further contributing to the sexually permissive environment in Thessalonica was the influence of the mystery religions that advocated ritual prostitution. They taught that if a follower engaged with a temple prostitute, he would be communing transcendentally with the deity the prostitute represented. For example, the temple of Aphrodite on the Corinthian Acropolis employed 1,000 priestesses who were essentially religious prostitutes. Thus, people did not consider fornication and adultery illegal or immoral. The idolatrous religions actually condoned them. It's what happens to a culture. It's what happens to a society when you don't obey the will of God. With the revealed will of God as it pertains to marriage, virtue, and the home. And we as a society, in a very short period of time, a lot of it has to do with the worship of celebrities, Hollywood, the idolatry in sports and all these things where people are following examples of some of the most wicked, filthy, ungodly people on the face of the earth. We need to do the will of God and abstain from fornication and sexual immorality in all its forms. We'll get on to verse 4 next week, God willing. Let's all stand.
Page number 6.